Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call of IFGL Refractories Limited, hosted by Asian Market Securities Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance of the company, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank from Asian Market Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Seema. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Asian Market Securities, I welcome you all to the Q4 FY24 and FY24 earnings conference call of IFGL Refractories Limited. We are pleased to have with us management being represented by Mr. James McIntosh, Managing Director, Mr. R.C. Shanmugam, Director and CEO, India, Mr. Amit Agarwal, CFO. We will have the opening remarks from the management, followed by a question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, James, sir.
Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us on the conference call. Along with me on the call, we have our newly appointed Director and CEO, India, Mr. R.C. Shanmugam. Also, we have Amit Agarwal, our CFO, and SGA, our investor relations advisors. We have uploaded the results and presentation on the stock exchanges, and I hope everyone had a chance to go through the same. We are pleased to announce that we had an 18% year-over-year increase in the total group revenues. This significant growth reflects our team's dedication and strategic planning, even amidst a challenging economic landscape. Throughout the financial year 2024, we encountered a range of obstacles but managed to uphold our EBITDA margin levels as we had previously guided. The major challenges faced were the macroeconomic weakness in Europe, which was exacerbated by the ongoing Russian-Ukraine conflict. Conflict between Israel and Palestine and the crisis in the Red Sea region have also contributed to a geopolitical instability affecting trade routes and market sentiment. These factors had a notable impact on the economic stability of the region, influencing our operations and market conditions. Additionally, European markets have experienced high inflation and interest rates, along with increased labor and energy costs. From the steel industry's perspective, the subdued global economic recovery has had a dampening effect on the steel production worldwide. This sluggish recovery has led to a lower demand in our primary overseas markets. Our strategic shift to focus on the Indian market a couple of years ago has played a crucial role in our success. Our domestic operations thrived with double-digit growth. Fortunately, the challenges in export business were offset by this growth in our domestic markets. The World Steel Association recently released its short-term outlook and steel demand forecast for 2024 and 2025, excluding China, where they expect 2024 to remain the same level as 2023, and then for 2025 returning to a downtrend as infrastructure and manufacturing growth is not expected to recoup real estate declines projected for the world, excluding China, suggests a broad-based growth in steel demand at a relatively strong level of 3.5% per annum over 2024 and 2025. The other comments of note were that India has emerged as the strongest driver of steel demand growth since 2021, and their projections suggest that Indian steel demand will continue to charge ahead with 8% growth in its steel demand over 2024 and 2025, driven by continued growth in all steel units and especially by continued strong growth in infrastructure investments. In 2025, the steel demand in India is projected to be almost 70 million tons higher in 2020. Other emerging parts of the world, such as MENA and ASEAN, are expected to show accelerated growth in their steel demand over 2024 and 2025 after a significant slowdown over 2022 and 2023. We observe that mounting difficulties in the ASEAN region, such as political instability and erosion competitiveness, might lead to a lower trend of steel demand going forward. We also noted that the EU, and in particular the UK, remains the region currently facing the biggest challenges. The region, and in particular its steel-using sectors, are challenged on a multitude of fronts. Geopolitical shifts and uncertainty, high inflation, monetary tightening, partial withdrawal fiscal report, and still high energy and commodity prices. On this basis, 2024 provides foundation for a meaningful recovery of 5.3% in 2025. US steel demand continues to show healthy steel fundamentals. The country's steel demand is expected to quickly return to growth path in 2024 after a sharp drop led by housing market slowdown in 2023, thanks to a strong investment activity, which received a boost from the Inflation Reduction Act and a gradual recovery in housing activity. As you all know, IFGL throughout its history has been focused mainly on the steel industry, and we have promised a move into the non-ferrous sectors. We are pleased to announce that in early 2024, we commence supply of our own high alumina brick products into the cement industry, which is the first entry into this important sector. Additionally, in this quarter, we see the commencement of our manufacturing of the state-of-the-art casting flux plant and also the MAG carbon brick plant in Vijayapatnam, which at their height will bring us an additional 200 crore in sales. Arasu will cover these in more detail. Suffice it to say that we will see additional sectors of coverage in the future. With this, let me now introduce our new Director and CEO India, Mr. Arasu Shanmugam. Arasu comes with 30-plus years of experience in the refractory industry, a postgraduate and a life member of the Indian Ceramic Society. He has specialised in operations and sales services. He has previously been associated with industry heavyweights like Tata Refractories and Dalmia OCL Refractories Limited, and has a proven track record of involvement in the steel, cement and other non-ferrous market segments in ceramic technology. Now I would like to hand over to Arasu for his comments.
Thanks, Jim, for your kind words, and good evening, everyone on the call. I'm extremely happy to be associated with IFGL as Director and CEO. IFGL is a preferred name in refractories industry, known for its high value, ethical value, capabilities and leadership position across geographies. In quarter four, we signed our contract with PwC as for SAP S4 HANA implementation partner, and commenced the work of business process mapping already. We codenamed this implementation project as Project Gati. This will give the company an integrated business process running platform. Project Gati represents a fundamental step to leverage streamlined operations, real-time data analytics, and advanced decision-making processes to make us more agile, efficient, and responsive by harnessing the power of technology, optimizing our processes, and driving sustainable growth across all facets of our organization. We are confident that the Project Gati will now not only drive operational excellence, but also foster a culture of continuous improvement and innovation throughout our organization as we position ourselves for greater success. To strengthen our path of growth, we have restructured our team and recruited new talent at CXO level and senior management level. Additionally, we have been enhancing our R&D center by adding skilled professionals and expanding other key areas of our organization. With this, we have introduced HR transformation initiative. We have partnered with Deloitte to launch the People First HR program, which will help us embark on a journey of organization transformation by keeping people at the forefront, which will enable us to continue to excel on our path to achieve 2x growth within the next 5 years. Alongside, our primary focus will be on delivering top-tier products that offer superior performance. As mentioned in our previous earning call, we are expanding into non-steel segments. We are proud to announce the dispatch of our inaugural products from a high alumina plant in Vankaner, Gujarat, India. This facility has been established to cater to customers in non-ferrous sectors such as cement, glass, coke, lime, and coal gasification industries. This milestone event signifies the beginning of our journey beyond the steel industry, making a significant moment in our company's legacy. Additionally, we are excited to announce the inauguration of our continuous casting flux plant in Visakhapatnam this month. At full capacity, this plant is expected to generate upward of rupees 90 crore annual revenue. Next month, we are also inaugurating our Magnesia Carbon Brick plant, projected to bring in over rupees 100 crore annually. Both projects initiated in 2022 are now ready to contribute significantly to our group's income. On the CapEx, as on March 2024, we have majorly done all the CapEx. In Odisha, around 90% of the CapEx has been utilized. In Kandla, we have utilized 90% of the planned CapEx. In Visakhapatnam, approximately 75% of the planned CapEx has been utilized. The CapEx is expected to be completed by first quarter in FY25. Regarding the Odisha land parcel, we are currently in the process of securing it from the government. We anticipate receiving the land soon. Since joining IFGL and overseeing operations, I have witnessed company with a strong value system, excellent governance, and the right ingredients for further success. I am optimistic about strengthening the IFGL brand and enhancing our execution rigor to accelerate growth while maintaining a focus on profitable revenue growth. I look forward to engaging with all stakeholders in the future. Now, I hand over to Mr. Amit Agarwal, our CFO, to take you through the financials.
Thank you, sir. Let me give you a brief on our financial performance. Starting with the standalone financial highlights. Total income for quarter 4 FY24 stood at rupees 216 crore and for FY24 stood at 910 crore. EBITDA for quarter 4 FY24 stood at rupees 37.8 crore and FY24 EBITDA before exceptional items stood at 169 crore, up by 26% year on year. EBITDA margin for quarter 4 FY24 stood at 17.5%. For FY24, EBITDA margin before exceptional items stood at 18.6%. PAT for the quarter was at 15.6 crore and for the year it stood at 65.1 crore. Let me now move forward to consolidated financials highlights. Our total income increased by 7% year on year to rupees 401 crore in quarter 4 FY24. For FY24, total income grew by 18% year on year to rupees 1658 crore. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 42 crores and for FY24 EBITDA before exceptional items stood at 213 crore, up by 28% year on year. EBITDA margin for quarter 4 FY24 stood at 10.5%. EBITDA margin before exceptional items stood at 12.8%. PAT for the quarter at rupees 12.5 crore and for year it stood at rupees 81.7 crores. With respect to liquidity position, we remain net debt free and with strong balance sheet. Cash and cash equivalents stood at Rs. 202 crore on consolidated basis as on 31st March 2024. Company has also recommended a dividend of Rs. 7 per share for financial year FY24, subject to shareholder approval. This is all from my side. With this, I shall now leave the floor open for question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Sahil Rohit Sangvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is to Mr. Rasu Shanmugam. Sir, congratulations on your appointment and your impressive experience into this field. My question is, what are the few areas that you will be focusing on now that you have been appointed to this position, and more of with respect to the domestic business? What are your key points that you would want to focus on?
Thank you for your wishes. So yeah, as I was mentioning, entering into non-steel sector, non-ferrous sector so-called, is also one of the major steps in the company we have taken up. That will grow, and our steel business is going to remain the core, and the major, what our aim would be this year to enhance our share of business with all profitable customers, for which we have already put a lot of measures on ground. So to increase our sales with key profitable accounts in domestic. Having said that, we are not losing any focus on export. Export business also will grow, but our primary focus will be to encash the growth market, which is our market, Indian market. So that's going to be our core focus.
Right. Thank you so much. My second question is regarding these new products and new plants that will be commissioning, mainly the Moldflex powder and magnesia bricks. What kind of ramp up can we expect on these products, and what kind of demand are we seeing for these specifically for this product?
So when we come to magnesia carbon brick, if you take any steel plant, magnesia carbon brick is one item which is consumed in very high volume. And I am happy to tell you that this magnesia carbon plant, what we have put up, is actually a backward integration. Meaning, we already have important customers our clientele list for consumption of magnesia carbon. So it's going to be now serving from our own. So we are expecting to reach a full capacity in coming 2 years' time, and maybe this year when we start, by the time we will be late by 3 months in the financial year, so we have 9 months left out. So here we will go nearly to 50% by end of the year, and then next year we must reach anywhere between 80 to 85%.
Right, and similar kind of targets we have, or similar kind of efforts we put for the Moldflex founder, because I think we have a big competitor over there in Vesuvius also.
Yeah.
Has started its plan. So similar kind of ramp up we'll target for Moldflex founder?
Moldflex, yes, but maybe slightly little longer period to reach 85%, maybe 2.5 to 3 years somewhere to reach 90% capacity utilization.
Got it. Thank you so much for the answers, and all the best, sir.
Thank you, sir. Before we take the next question, A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Shaumik Ganguly from Aditya Birla Money. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes. My question is regarding the CAPEX. What would be the CAPEX expansion plans of the company in the future?
See, we have almost done our all CAPEX as I have mentioned. We are going to complete by the time next month end, we are almost completing all CAPEXes, which we are now going to only concentrate on implementing various sales and business development activities to ramp up the capacity. And if at all any new CAPEXes, that will be for the new plant, which we just mentioned that the land, possession taking by maybe July or so, coming 2 months. After that, it will come up. But otherwise, for major CAPEXes, we have already completed.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Harsh Shah from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, team, and thanks for the opportunity. A few questions from my side. Firstly, if you could kind of give a split between the domestic and the export mix within the standalone operations in Q4 of this year and Q4 of last year.
To answer your question, Harsh, quarter four this year domestic business was around 77% of the total revenue, and last year it was around 63%.
Okay, and for the full year FY24 and FY23,
it is domestic business is around 67% and export is around 33%.
And for FY23, what would have been the domestic contribution?
55% and 45% exports.
Sorry,
55% domestic and 45% exports.
Got it. And secondly, on the brownfield CAPEX that would be kind of getting completed by June end, somewhere around 159 crores of CAPEX. So the asset turn would be somewhere around 3 times. So would the assumption be correct that the revenue from that would be somewhere around 450 to 500 crores?
Generally, it's 2 to 3x, so we'll try to achieve that.
And how long do you think it would take to ramp up to say somewhere around 85-90% utilization? Ballpark?
All dependent on market, I believe. But we are ready to, ramp up.
Correct. But any ballpark, any target that you have in mind?
Rasu, you just mentioned 2 years, yeah? At the outset.
No, sir, I'm talking about the three brownfield CAPEX, not the new ones that we did.
The brownfield.
Yeah.
As Mr. Rasu said, we will be achieving 50% by this financial year and 80% around next financial year. And so for the plus 30% for this financial year and 70 to 80% next financial year.
Okay, I'll take this question post the call. And my question is, another question is on Sheffield's contribution for FY24, if you could quantify that for full year.
Tim, would you like to take this question on Sheffield?
No, that's financial. You go.
What is that? Sheffield, you want to discuss the number for Sheffield?
Yeah, I want the revenue part.
Just two. We did around 200 crores of sales for Sheffield this year.
Got it. Lastly, any sort of guidance that you would want to give in terms of revenue and margins? Because last time around, I believe at the start of the year, you had given some sort of revenue guidance and about the margin as well. So this year, do you want to give any sort of guidance on the revenue front?
We will continue with our, you know, old guidance at 50% EBITDA margin for standalone and 12% for consolidated level.
And on revenue front?
Revenue will continue a growth of around 10%.
On console operation?
On standalone.
On standalone. Okay. Got it. Thank you. That's it from my side. I'll come back in the queue.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anjana Shah from Shah Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity, sir. Two questions from my end. So what would be the outlook for our export markets in light of the current global scenario? And how do you anticipate the performance going forward? Sir?
Can you please come again on your question?
I'm saying, what is the outlook for our export markets in the light of current global scenario, and how do we anticipate the performance going forward in the export markets? That is my first question. And my second question is, are there any plans for acquisition, and could you throw some more light and provide more details regarding this aspect?
On the acquisition side, on the overseas front, one acquisition which we are looking at in the United States. And we also have a potential acquisition target which we are working on for here in India.
And so the outlook on the export market?
Are you talking about export from the standalone company, or what's your question?
So I'm talking about the normal outlook for exports in general, looking at the global scenario and performance of our company in the export market going ahead.
So, I mean, on export from India operations, we are projecting just a meager 2.3% growth over the previous year, as McIntosh has explained, you know, the challenges we had in export market. But in spite of that, we are planning to, hold and then grow marginally by 2% in FY25.
Sure, sir. That is helpful. Thank you very much. That's it from my end.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants in the conference, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Chirag Jain from Yoga Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I was looking, my question is more on the previous participant asked on. So we are looking at acquisition. So we would be entering the same product in which we are operating in, or it will be newer products which will be acquired by us?
American acquisition would be completely new products to the company. The acquisition target in India would be products which we currently have in our portfolio.
The new product which we are entering would be in which segment?
Don't want to talk about that, I'm afraid.
No, so it will be a steel, cement, so...
It will still be in steel.
Okay, it will be in steel. Okay, that's for enough. Okay, second question was on the domestic industry side. We are looking at domestic steel companies expanding their capacity. So why are you projecting only 10% growth in revenue for the domestic segment? Could you give some color on that?
We don't use acquisitions in our predictions for growth.
Okay. So I was trying to understand for the domestic market in India, the steel companies are expanding their capacities, okay, which gives us some leeway to expand more in the revenue side. So
yeah, we're not grown by 10% in India. We're grown by more than 10% in India, guys.
In response to the previous participant, you mentioned that for FY25, you are targeting something around 10% revenue growth.
I know. I'm saying, Amit Agarwal, you should clarify that. We are not growing by 10% in India. We are growing by far more.
Somewhere between 17% and 18%. Our growth projection for domestic in FY25 is, around 17%.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. Understood. Thirdly, if you could give some color on the Odisha plant that we are planning to expand on. So, what would be the estimated size? Do you have some numbers on that?
We will let you know, because we are working with two, three options. So once when we are zeroing it down, I think we must be able to clarify it in the immediate, next call.
Okay, no issue. Do you have any products on mind for that expected plant that we are coming up with?
Definitely refractories and serving to steel and also some non-steel.
Okay, so it would be more of a forward integration, I think, on that.
You can call, it's broadening our, product range, but selling to the market with steel and non-steel, predominantly non-steel and then steel.
Okay, understood. Fair enough. That's all from my side. All the best for the
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My question is on the debt repayment schedule. So, do you have any kind of figure in mind as to how much debt on a standalone basis we would be repaying, if you could quantify?
Harsh, actually, we are, net debt free, so that is not an issue for us. We have a small debt of around 65 crore rupees on books.
Yeah, I get that. Okay. And secondly, what would be the steady-state depreciation for FY25 on a quarterly basis?
Sorry, come again?
Steady-state depreciation.
What depreciation?
Depreciation amount.
It will be in the same range.
Similar. Okay. Okay. And the new initiative that you have taken with respect to the SAP implementation or appointing even Deloitte, are all of these costs already been incurred in Q4, or is there something that would be even in a kind of spilling over in FY25?
This will be incurred during the year. This project will be incurred during the
some
year.
Of the... Anna, some of the cost has already been incurred in the past, and it will continue to be incurred.
Got it. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. Participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Aditi Savan from ADM Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. I have just one question. Are we making investments in automation, particularly in the context of refractory industry? And do we expect any automation to play a significant role in this particular sector?
Yeah, Madam, if you can speak a bit loud, it will be, you know, good for us.
Can you be a bit louder, please? We couldn't get exactly. Hello.
Aditi, could you repeat your question?
Yeah, yeah. So, sir, just wanted to understand that, you know, are we seeing any investments in automation, particularly in the context of refractory industry? And do we expect that automation to play a significant role in this sector?
Yes. See, we have mentioned our recently commissioned the casting plant is a 100% automatic plant, okay? And we are also seeing on various possibilities of automizing, some of our manual activities. Yes, automation definitely will, be a significant move in refractory industry as a whole. And specific to us, yes, we are also going to take up.
Okay, thank you, sir. That was helpful, and all the best for the upcoming financial year.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Prateem from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. If you calculate the consolidated level EBITDA margin from last year, 4Q, and this year, 4Q, there is, without other income, I'm saying, there is a significant drop in the margin side. So can you please explain what is the reason behind that and what is the bridge that is defining the margin drop year on year basis?
At console level, you are talking about?
Yes, at console level.
Doesn't matter. And it's the same thing. It was caused by the same issue, surely, Anna.
Hello?
Yeah, hello, sir.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was taking up the how the margin is panning out for last year to this year. For 4Q, in my calculation, it is down. So can you please tell me why you are not doing well, and what is the gap between these two, the bridge between these two numbers? What are the...
Last year we did the EBITDA margin of 12%, and in FY24 we did 11% without any exceptional items. We have taken a provision of, 38-39 crore in this financial year, which has brought us a bit down. So otherwise we have, maintained our margin levels, both at standalone level as well as console level.
And sir, for this quarter, if you can give me some idea about how our subsidiaries like Hoffman, EI Ceramics, and the Monopon have done the performance, and what will be the outlook for the coming quarters?
Yeah, I mean, at EIC, we had about the same level of sales. I mean, we had quite a reduction in the market in the USA. They mainly operate in the USA. And we had about the same sales, but we had a much higher profitability. We expect to continue the profitability of EIC at the same level as last year, maybe a wee bit higher. Our focus in EIC is really towards the project which we have to expand the company. So we've got a new plan to combine both operations of EIC into one, but at the same time double the size of the company in terms of the floor space, and also the capability of the company in terms of manufacturing. With regard to Hoffman, Hoffmann are based in Germany in the foundry industry, and I'm sure you all know that the German manufacturing industry has been badly affected with the economy and manufacturing downturn. We are well down in sales in Hoffmann and also in profitability as a result. We expect to see a continuation of that for the next couple of quarters, and hopefully towards the end of the calendar year we will see an improvement in the situation, but at the moment we cannot say that the market for the foundry industry in Germany will be improved over the next two quarters.
Okay, sir, thank you. And last question, sir, that you just rightly mentioned that the we are planning for acquisition in US and another one is India. So as we means the target company is already selected, or when you can expect a update on that and further update for particular business, if you can
throw. Yeah, I mean, obviously the target companies have already been selected. With regard to an update on that, negotiations of these types take time. So I'm afraid I can't give you an idea of when we would be announcing any moves in that particular regard. We are very hopeful that that we see some movement on these within this financial year, hopefully towards the sooner, but I mean I cannot give a time or a date on that.
Okay.
Well, there's a significant, obviously, in the past, but sorry, just to make a point, I mean, we had an acquisition that we were working on in the European theatre, which was looking very strong. We were in a position where we thought we would be able to close on that, and unfortunately, because of the market conditions in Europe, we decided not to go ahead with that last year. Now we have acquisition targets in America, which I think is in a wee bit stronger position from the point of view of the market than Europe at the moment, and also obviously in India, a very buoyant market both for the company growth position as well as the market conditions. You will see more of that from IFGL. I mean, not only from the point of view of CapEx in India, but also looking at growing the company through acquisition.
Okay, sir. Thank you for the detailed explanations. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Anik Mitra from Finomics. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, sir. Please.
Hello.
Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, right through the year, we have seen the double-digit growth in the top line. And this quarter, in March 24, we have seen single-digit growth, 7% growth only year-on-year basis. Now, my question is this slowdown attributed only to exports? The entire slowdown is attributed only to exports?
Are you talking about growth in the standalone?
The console number, sir.
And the console number last year, we grew by 18%, I think, yeah?
March 23, you did 368 crores. Hello.
Are you talking about quarters? Are you console talking number. Quarter to quarter?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Quarter after quarter.
Yeah. Amit, you can answer that.
See, quarter on quarter, we have, grown by 7%, as you said. In domestic front, we have grew by around 14%, and we have been compensated, by our export market. That's why you are witnessing a single-digit growth. As if you notice the opening remarks from our managing director, Mr. Jim, he said that, you know, our growth has been, you know, mixed up with the slowdown in export market.
So, sir, what kind of degrowth we have witnessed in this March quarter?
In export front, around 12%.
12% degrowth. Okay. And, sir, and in the EBITDA level, also we have seen some margin compression. Like right through the year, we have been witnessing double-digit EBITDA margin, but this time it was 9%. So is this due to, like, is it attributed to employee cost increase, like which we have seen from 12% to 14% in this quarter, or anything else?
Our EBITDA margin is 17.5%, if I am not wrong.
Sir, in console this is something.
At console level, we have always maintained an EBITDA margin of 12% on a yearly basis and not on a quarterly basis.
I'm asking about the quarterly numbers, sir.
So our guidance is on yearly basis, because on a quarter to quarter, you know, it's very difficult to manage the fluctuations.
Okay. So this quarter I didn't find any volatility in the raw material cost. So is it due to the increase in stocks, or what else?
Sorry, hello?
Yeah, what I'm asking you, sir, this quarter, like, obviously, little volatility is there in this particular quarter. What I'm asking, like, is it due to the increase in the stock or increase in employee cost?
Employee cost, there is a certain increase because of, you know, initiative we have taken, and all, because, as mentioned by Mr. Arasu and Jim both, that it will have impact, and but we will make this up in future.
Okay. Sir, employee cost has gone up from 14% of the top line last year to the, I'm referring last year's same quarter, to 16% of the top line. Now my question is it the new normal? Like, will it be around 16% in upcoming quarters, or what would be the upcoming full year percentage we must see?
I don't think your numbers are correct. It's not 16%. Employee cost is not 16%, but we'll maintain, I think, at the same level.
Sir, it is 64.5 crore consolidated basis in March quarter, against your 394 crore of top line. So it comes 16%.
We'll maintain a yearly figure.
Okay. Okay. So, sir, yearly basis, what would be the correct number? Or,
it must be around 8%.
8%. Okay. This is the console number you are referring. Is this the console? Okay. Okay. Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Chirag Jain from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. I wanted to know the capacity utilization of the Indian business versus overseas business. Hello?
Yeah. Hello, capacity utilization is, our capacity utilization is between 63 to 65% average, on an average overall.
So would be it higher for the domestic business, or?
Capacity is put together, no, there's nothing called the separate. So it's on overall, including, this will be 63 to 65% combining both together. So we don't calculate separate capacity utilization, because capacity is common for both.
Yeah, so capacity is being common. I just wanted to get some color, because the overseas market, we have some underutilized capacity, where we have some underutilized capacity at a domestic plant.
So that was I was trying to figure out.
Yeah, I mean we want to improve the capacity utilization from present level, and that the major significant contribution will be from domestic.
Okay, that was all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. My question is to Mr. Jain. So you did mention about maybe an inorganic acquisition in US may take place, and that would be primarily non-steel sector. So I get the point wherein, you know, you might want to bridge the technology gap, or you might want to introduce get into segments which you are not present, but the thing that I want to understand is from a capital allocation standpoint. So what we are seeing is that the acquisitions that we have made in the past, right? So now the situation, geopolitical situation or whatever you say, the overseas operations are kind of under some pressure, and as you said that India is the only growing destination in terms of steel demand. So obviously it might help to get the top line, but say 2, 3, or 4 years down the line, a similar situation where, you know, the exports, you know, kind of drags our overall performance, even though the domestic may be performing well, but the overseas operations kind of overshadows it. I hope I was audible.
Yes, sir.
If Mr. James is not there on the line, Mr. Arasu, if you could answer, that would be great.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. I'm very sorry. I didn't realize my phone was on mute. No, I was just saying, I was talking away there, and I was just saying that the overseas markets that we deal in are mainly, you know, in MENA, you know, we've got Eastern Europe, the Europe, Western Europe, and North America, and obviously European markets for sure have been in decline for a couple of years because of the economic situation. The USA, however, is normally a very stable market. It's not a growing market. You cannot compare the growth of India with any other market in the world, actually, of similar size. I mean, India is number two in the world in steel production, but the growth in India is 78% per annum, whereas, you know, the best you'll see normally in a very, very good year in America or Europe would be, you know, the low 2 or 3% in a very good year. So it's very difficult to draw comparisons in that regard. However, the market for refractories and refractory products in steel and other areas in America is a very, very strong market. It's a very strong market. And that's why our objective to look at acquisition there is a sound prospect.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Pratik, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hello. You're audible. Please go ahead with your question.
What's the idea for the margin for Q1 and Q2? Like, will it be stable or 12%, or will there will be impact on that?
Pradeep, we'll have a, you know, yearly guidance of 12% margin, EBITDA level, for the whole year.
Okay. So there won't be any impact like Q for last year, right? Like the expenses were higher.
Pradeep, if you can speak a bit loud.
The Q4 was impacted. Won't be an impact on Q1 or Q2 as well. Will there be an impact that on consolidated basis?
So I don't think we have any guidance on quarterly basis. We have a guidance on yearly basis, and we stick to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Mr. Mayank. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, as you have highlighted that you are in the process of finalizing acquisitions, and we also have a plan of brownfield capex and greenfield capex going on. So, is it like, after the acquisitions, our capex plan would largely be over, or for the long-term goals that we had made initially, just to compare the capex, greenfield capex, brownfield capex versus the acquisitions, how do you see your future capital allocation?
Capital investment in the company will continue in the future. I mean, we're not suggesting at all that that will stop. I mean, obviously, we have a new plant, which, we're just waiting on the finalization of the land. I think the capital expenditure there, the capex for that project alone would be about 150 crore. And we've also got other projects which we're going to be working on in each of our plants in India. There will be capex involved there. I don't know what the figure is. Amit, maybe you have the figures.
We do not have figure as of now. We'll come with a concrete figure in the next quarter call.
Okay, and for the Magnesia Carbon facility you highlighted, this Magnesia Carbon facility, you are expecting 100 crore of capex. So what kind of asset turnover we should assume on it?
That was actually what we mentioned was 100 crore revenue we expect from that capex of MacCarbon. That was not the capex number. What you are referring to is the...
Okay. So, 100 crore is the revenue that you are expected to realize from the Magnesia Carbon Brick facility?
Yeah. Correct.
The revenue from the MagCarbon, Arasu, I think at maximum would be about 150, yeah?
Yeah.
Close to 150 for the MagCarbon and about... 100 or 90 for the casting clocks.
Yeah.
Okay. And on the employee cost, have you seen a sequential rise in the employee cost? Has it been related to the new R&D center in Odisha? How are things progressing there with the new R&D center that we have? We have originally planned for upgrading the product standards and benchmarking the products to the competitors. So how is that thing going on? I mean, have we been able to achieve any success in converting any product or upgrading any product to the international benchmark?
See, research center front, Chief Research Officer has already joined, and also a team for our major product line, the research team is also in place. As you said, we were mentioning about benchmarking, both internal and external. Internal benchmarking has already progressed well, and one of our senior employee will go to abroad for taking this benchmarking even global level. And the competition performance and our performance versus benchmarking is also, definitely is progressing very well. And some of the actions which we have taken has also given us, business share enhancement with some of the customers already. So it is progressing.
Okay, and sir, last quarter we had some issue with some customer in CJAC and we had a provision of 40 crore. So how is the, what is the status of that in as of now?
Sorry, I'm actually struggling to understand the question personally.
They want to understand the provision we took on Ostrava. What is the status of that?
Yeah, the status of the provision, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, as we always do, you know, we make, you know, provisions, and this particular one was a matter of abundant precaution, really, which is normal for IFGL. With regard to the actual status of the situation, the company involved in the Czech Republic has gone through a voting of the creditors for its restructuring plan, which has resulted in a successful vote from the creditors to go forward to the government of the Czech Republic have the restructuring plan agreed with them. Once we have the restructuring plan in place, the particular customer involved has stated categorically that there will be no haircut in the amount owed, the receivables for each of the creditors. But we will take a longer time to receive the money. So we, at the moment, are very hopeful that this process will be successful for the customer in the Czech Republic and that we will see the agreement in place by the government and the restructuring plan going into full effect and the plant coming back online. So, you know, hopefully that will go well. And if it does, then we will receive full payment for the amounts which we have provisioned for, albeit at a longer rate. I think, Samit, if I remember rightly, it was up till the end of 2025, or... Is this correct?
Yeah. Another 25 will have 25%.
There you go.
And balance in next year.
Okay. Now, the last question from my side is that we have noticed from one of your competitors that China has increased exports to other markets and there is pricing pressure in the advanced refractive segment, particularly not in flow control but in advanced refractive sector. So are we seeing increased pricing pressure in the industry in overseas market and as well as in the Indian market? What is your comment?
Not seeing it, actually.
Okay.
Not really. Not really seen any effect from Chinese refractory makers into the market. So I'm not aware of any particular cases where this has been the result.
Sure. Thank you, sir. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Before we take a call, can I make one clarification that regarding this employee percentage, it was for standalone, not for consolidated level, with regard to one of the investor questions. Just a clarification. Now we can take the next call.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Well, thank you very much for joining us in the call.
Okay.
Thank you. On behalf of Asian Market Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.